Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the podcast, George Rambles. I couldn't be bothered to do a special kind of introductory skit. I'm very busy, don't you know? I've got exams next week. What do you want from me? Blood? Jesus. Right, so let's get the fuck on with it and do some hellos. So here we go. Hellos to Nat, because she'll probably complain if she doesn't get one. Hello to Amy, my sister. I'm glad you're enjoying the podcast. Hello to Matty von Struenfeld, who lives in the Netherlands. Hello to you. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Hello to Adele. I hope you're going crazy revising like I am. Hello to Alex in Amerique, in New York. I hope you're having fun coding. I don't know. What do you do? You're a code monkey of some sort, I imagine. No. I hope you're enjoying studying your last semester. And also, finally, hello to Dan.
Hello, George.
Oh, hello. As if by magic. Who could have seen that one coming? It's not like I've pulled that stunt like 3-4 times before.
It was my idea, though.
I know.
I was like, let's do it that way.
So, how are you?
I'm good. I would like to get some hellos out of the way. First off, thank you for having me on your George Rambles. I feel quite honoured. I don't know, I'm not the first guest, but am I the first on George Rambles?
Yeah. Sycophancy is always appreciated here.
Good. Well, I'd just like to thank Conan, Buffy, and I think Fangsy in 72. And everybody who's listening to this episode because of me and not because of you.
Irony. I want to make it explicitly clear that people who are listening to this episode solely for Dan aren't really welcome on the podcast, I'm afraid.
So. You're not going to get a special mug.
No mugs for you.
Why am I here?
Why are you here?
Yeah.
People have asked that a lot.
Why am I here on the podcast?
Oh, okay, that's much easier to answer. That one I can do. Because it's a special Oscars edition.
Ooh.
Yeah, see, you're with it there. We've been watching a lot of films, both separately and together. There's nothing in it, don't worry. So we thought we would do an Oscars episode because we've seen lots of the films that have been nominated for Oscars.
Unfortunately, not all of them.
No.
Getting there.
We have more things to do with our time, to be honest.
Yeah,
that's true. You're unemployed. Ah. And so, yeah, we figured why not do an Oscars episode. And it's, what, when are the Oscars? 3 weeks' time?
Yeah, I think mid-27th of May.
22nd
or so. Know. If Nat was here, should be able to tell.
It's 3 weeks.
This shows our research, can I just say. We've already proved how well.
Oh, yeah. No, we're just testing you. Well, I hope, really, my aim for this podcast is just to have Nat shouting at the radio as much as possible. I have her, like, losing clumps of her hair. She rips out, you know fucking nothing.
Nat won't even care. She'll be like, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
That one was good. Yeah, it was okay. Not great.
Oscars night is the 22nd of February, which is 3 weeks tomorrow.
Okay. BAFTAs is soon, too. Not that it matters, but there's a lot of ads for that. They're pushing.
See, we don't have a TV, so we don't
know. No, I mean, on the underground, I saw, like,
But we don't have a TV, so we don't know.
Oh, I think it's fairly
if you don't have a TV, you can't see ads on the underground. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know.
No,
because I've always had a TV.
Is that your phone?
No.
Oh, it's outside. If I wanted your opinion, I'd ask for it, Jude Flynn.
Is this going to be recorded?
Yes, of course it's recorded.
I'm not Brent Break character.
Let's get the fuck on with it. Okay, so let's start. I suppose let's go through this. We're not going to talk about each and every category, fortunately. Well, we can, but
we'll go through some of the.
Let's kick off with most interesting ones. Actor in a leading role. So, 5 nominations. We've got Richard Jenkins in The Visitor. Seen it?
I haven't seen it. I've heard of it.
Haven't heard of it. Frank Langella in Frost Nixon.
Langella,
is it? I haven't heard of it. Langella? That sounds horrible.
Pretty sure it's Frank Langella.
Ah, it sounds medical. Sean Penn in Milk. Brad Pitt in Benjamin Button, Curious Case of, and Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. Thoughts?
Okay, well, I think it's interesting that Pitt got nominated, because I haven't heard anything really good about his performance there. We have to say, which movies are those? I've seen The Wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
We've both seen Milk.
We've both seen Milk.
And you saw Frost
I've
Nixon.
Seen Frost Nixon.
And neither of us seen The Visitor.
Or Benjamin Button, because it's not out yet.
No, it's not out here. I think next week.
So, yeah, difficult. Why don't you start?
Okay, well, I think Sean Penn and Mickey Rourke, it's between them, essentially.
Really?
I think one of those two will win. The more I think Mickey Rourke, his performance is a lot more raw, it's a lot more sort of intense, but it also can be, like, it's a hard, you know, it's not a very, like, not everyone's going to like that performance.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Whereas Sean Penn, that's for everybody, you know, there's not a person who's going to watch that, unless, I guess, you hate gays, maybe. Look at those people.
Yeah, there are so many people in the media, movie and film, TV industries that are really homophobic.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
It's really difficult to get ahead in the movie industry if you're not gay.
It's probably why they got up straight men to play the gay man.
Yeah. What I wanted to say was both Milk and Frost Nixon are both also nominated for Best Picture, which I think will have some bearing on it. Because
Benjamin Button isn't.
No.
We should note that
Benjamin Button... Oh, yeah, no, yes, it is. It's, yes, Benjamin Button's in there as well.
Benjamin Button is winning for most nominations with 13, if that means anything.
No, I don't know what that means.
It means it's got the most nominations.
Right, okay, I see. Yes, it was a music score.
A lot of people thought it would be Slumdog. Slumdog didn't get as many as it did for Golden Globe, which is interesting, but we'll get to that. Slumdog Millionaire. Sorry, I'm going to speak in lingo. Keep up.
Lingo, did you say? Is that like really glitzy lingo? Yeah, fucking blingo, man. like Latin, that's blingo. That's
a Lost reference. Wow, are you making references to shows you haven't even watched?
Yeah, I didn't watch Lost.
This is a season 6, episode 3. No, season 5, episode 3.
I don't have a TV. I don't know. Mickey Rourke and the wrestler, you think?
I would give it to Mickey Rourke because I think that performance is a lot more intense. It's not, you know, sort of... Biopics are interesting, but we've seen a lot of them. But the Oscars likes it. I mean, Natalie, if she was here, would argue that there are certain trends. My flatmate, Mira, argues the same thing, that there are trends in Oscar nominations. Okay. Who will win, and that way you can predict. But I think, you know... You might look, it's a time of change in America, you know? So maybe I would give it to Brett.
Talking of that time of change, I'm going to keep calling him Langella because I prefer that.
That's fine.
Langella, it sounds like Nigella.
So you like Langella. I saw Frost Nixon.
I
haven't yet.
And also, Frost Nixon is a very exciting piece of work for me. Not only, well, it's political, and I think it very much takes advantage of the time, the political changes. One well placed. As to a degree does Milk with the Proposition 8 in California. We'll get to that later. But what I really like about Frost Nixon is that it was originally written as a stage play, or a play, as it's called. And it had Michael Sheen and Langella. Oh, I'll use it.
No, it's
And they played the characters. They played David Frost and... Richard Nixon and that was back in 2006 in London.
Uh-huh.
It started at the Chocolate Factory, I think, yeah. And then it moved to, I think, New York in 2007. And then someone was like, oh, this would be a really good play. And so the playwright, he converted it into a screenplay and they played the characters again. So they've played those characters for years, like 2 years, two and a half years. Down. They really have it down.
How did you find Michael Sheen? Like, because you said, we've all listened to, was that on the last podcast? I don't know if it was...
Possibly.
If it was recorded or not. But George has said a lot of good things about Frank Langella's performance as Richard Nixon in Frost Nixon.
What's really exciting about about them both, in fact, is that they really inhabit the characters. And they really... You're not watching caricatures. You're not watching...
That was going to be my argument, because you said more Nixon than Nixon. And what is that? That is not a character? It's not larger than
No, but like...
It's going too far?
It's an interesting idea, but...
I haven't seen the movie.
There's this really interesting moment when one of the researchers, you know, part of the team who's kind of trying to do all the research on him and find out the information and get ready for it, kind of, he imitates Nixon in like a kind of mock question answering. And he does this kind of really over-the-top kind of...
Yeah, the bulldog thing.
Yeah, the real bulldog, kind of shaky jowls and...
Isn't that a Batman impersonation?
A what?
Never mind.
And so, like... And very much the Nixon of Futurama.
Yeah, right,
And so they... and I think that's almost a subtle kind of... nod to the fact that Langella's performance... they could have gone too far, but it's not. Like, he really, really inhabits it, and I think more of him than I do of real Nixon, if I imagine the man. Michael Sheen's wonderful, although he plays very big kind of characters. So he played Tony Blair in The Queen, of course.
Writing the curtails of Frost Nixon's success, he's got this new movie coming out about some British premiership or something. I know nothing about it. I didn't even hear it. There's two movies, because Mickey Rourke as well has gotten a lot of praise.
Mm.
And now they're bringing out Shot to Kill or something with him and Ashley Judd. But apparently that's getting good reviews. But this is a British film with Michael Sheen. He's playing... he plays like... I don't know what to word. This is where my sports lingo, like my sports knowledge drops. Manager? Is it like... who's in charge of the coach? Who's in charge of the players?
The manager.
Who's in charge of that dude?
The chairman.
Okay, I think he plays the chairman of... some premiership team, and it's all about like what happened there. And that's just coming out, I think, next week.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, but that's the thing, because he plays these characters and he really gets into them, and he really, I think, he really kind of, he's a really convincing portrayal of Tony Blair in The Queen.
He played a werewolf, didn't he, in Real World?
We'll get onto that. I want to talk about Bill Nighy as well. Like, what the fuck is happening there?
Okay, so wait.
What I'm saying is that it's really strange, because when I started, because he's got Frost Dixon down where they were kind of, hello, good evening, and welcome. Like that, his intonation and the cadence of his speeches really got it down. But because he looks like he looks, and he looks very similar to like he did in The Queen, obviously, because it's still his face, it's kind of like watching Tony Blair interview Frostick.
Oh, wow. It's a bit surreal.
Yeah, it was really strange. But it's wonderful. I think the film is absolutely cracking. And Nixon's character is so funny. Like, there's this moment, there are loads of moments. He's obsessed with money, like...
Because that's how they get him to do it, from what I've seen in the trailer.
Yeah, because his kind of slime ball of a literary editor, who is getting him to write his memoirs.
Kevin Bacon.
No. Shorty Lazar. Oh, yeah, Jude, coming in here.
Interrupting us. Oh, wait, we got it.
She's writing something.
Hot off the presses.
Wendy Cope.
Is it a poet?
No, it's not her.
Yes, it is.
This is a slight digression. But I predict this episode's going to be the longest episode
ever. What's the article about Wendy Cope?
It's not about her, though. It's a different one.
About being the laureate.
Yeah, it's not her though. It's another Pam Ayres. That's it. It's Pam Ayres.
I've never heard of her.
She's very famous.
Is she old and middle aged?
All sorts of shit. Go and have a look.
This is poetry speak, guys. Look, we know it's too much culture at once, so we'll tone it down. I'll talk about what's not cultural.
Cheese.
McDonald's. Yeah. McDonald's has got a new, you can win a mug if you order a breakfast and a coffee.
Is that true?
Yes, there's three different types and they all look good. I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
Because I went for the Coca-Cola glass thing. All right, back to culture. You're talking about Michael Sheen and... No.
Oh, comedy, yeah. There are wonderful moments when, for example, when his Shorty Lazar, his slimy agent, brings it up. And he's like, oh, I don't want to do a talk show. I'm not at all interested. And Shorty goes, he's offering $500,000. That's $500,000. And Nixon kind of stops and kind of looks over at Shorty and goes, do you think you could get 550? Just, there are moments like that. And when David Frost goes to meet him with a girl he met on the plane the day before, Nixon's very nice to her and gives her a photo of him like signed, and he says something like, oh, you can put this up, you can put this up in your flat in London or in New York, and all your socialist friends can use it as a dartboard. And she says, oh no, actually I'm living in Monte Carlo at the moment. And then like she goes off and gets in the car, and David Frost is saying thank you and goodbye. This is at the beginning of the film, and Nixon says, oh, you should marry that girl. And Frost says, yes, she is lovely. And Nixon goes, and more importantly, they don't pay taxes in Monte Carlo. And there's loads of it's just so funny the way they kind of make him out to be this kind of very kind of, I don't know, kind of pragmatically kind of money orientated, and just his greed is comic in that sense. And some of the things he says, he's got some,
but not too far. So
no, not in an absurd way.
I mean, we have to say he is nominated for Best Actor, so that is impressive. So would you give it to?
I'd give it to him because I think it's such.
And I say Rourke. This is going to be a little thing. Well, I think this will be recorded proof of what we think. We'll see how many.
Interestingly, neither of us are saying Sean Penn, and that's the only film we've both seen.
Yes, Sean Penn is amazing. He's really good. Like, he convinces the crowd.
Let's move the Sean Penn argument to the Best Picture, which we will talk about very quickly after 30 seconds of actor in a supporting role. Josh Brolin in Milk? No. Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder?
It's interesting that he's nominated.
I think
did you see it?
No, but okay. I know of it.
It's an amazing role. He plays, it's him playing an Australian, playing a black man, right?
Yeah.
That in itself, and taking comical tones at each one, and then making, and playing an actor in all different roles, right?
Yeah.
So that's funny. The problem with the comedy role, and we saw this with Johnny Depp playing Captain Jack, and he got nominated for an Oscar, but he never won. I think he got nominated twice.
Comedy rarely wins, though.
It's because it's diversifying. Either you laugh, you think it's funny, you don't, and that doesn't depend necessarily on the performance. The greatest comedians, you're still going to find people who don't like him.
Even in the smallest
audiences. So I don't think he'll win. But
Philip Seymour Hoffman in Doubt. Not particularly that impressed by Doubt. I've seen
Haven't seen it. I'm so excited. I think that's amazing.
Maybe I'll get more excited.
I'm more excited about Doubt than I am about Frost Nixon. But you liked Frost Nixon, so that piqued
me. I love it. It's good. It's worth seeing. It's definitely worth seeing. Heath Ledger in
Dark Knight. Michael Shannon
in Revolution Road. I think Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight is going to get it.
I think so too. I heard lots of good things.
He deserves it, and also because I think it's a very necessary and legitimate recognition.
Is it tainted, though?
No, I don't think so.
People are going to think he doesn't deserve it. They're just giving it because of the sympathy story.
No, I think he deserves it. Before he topped himself,
Everyone
was being like, oh my God, he's going to be in The Dark Knight. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be really exciting.
Yeah.
People were really excited about that before.
He's dead. The only problem, I mean, this just sounds really like disgusting of me, but it's almost too bad that he died before it came out.
Yeah, so people couldn't judge him on the performance.
Exactly. They had rose-colored glasses when they saw it. We all did. And we are all impressed.
It is good, though.
It's amazing. It really... I'd give it to him, too.
So I think it is possible to separate the two events. Because he'd already died before we saw it. I think possibly if he died after, it would be like, oh, God, that's so terrible.
Mm. What a way to go out, man.
Yeah. I know, I think he'll probably get it.
I think so too. So we're in agreement there.
Actress in a leading role.
Okay.
Anne Hathaway and Rachel getting married. Apparently it's got a really annoying two-act structure. There's no such thing as a three-act structure.
I don't know anything about
it. It's all shit. But it's really poorly resolved. But apparently it's quite a realistic film. So instead of, you know, the tendency Hollywood has to kind of have really dysfunctional families and then...
Also not out yet. Neither of us have seen this.
Yeah, someone gets up and gives this kind of wonderful speech at the dinner table and like everyone loves each other and there's like a big kind of overture and everyone hugs.
A typical story.
Yeah, that would be a bit different. It doesn't work. Apparently it has a little resolution. I haven't seen it though.
I've heard really good things. I've heard the person who actually plays... Because the movie's about Anne Hathaway's sister is getting married and Anne Hathaway comes and she's a bit of the family black sheep and she doesn't get along with anybody.
Some more tea.
I'm good. I think if I have more tea, I might get too hyper for the podcast. But I will have one of these lovely crusted cream. Yeah. Would you like one?
I'll have a custard cream. Not a crusted one, please.
There we go. Pass over the top of the microphone.
Dude, would you like a crusted cream?
On a friendly.
Angelina Jolie in Changeling. People slate her, but...
I don't care.
I know, I'm not particularly... a nonplussed by that film.
Exactly.
Melissa Leo in Frozen River, haven't seen it.
I didn't even hear of it.
I haven't heard of it, so that's not going to win. Meryl Streep in Doubt. I don't mind Meryl Streep, she's a very good actress.
The greatest living actress.
The Guardian Weekend Magazine in the Measure column, which is an essential reading item for all those who can, in the Going Up, Going Down. Going up, the phrase Tour de Streep. In Tour de Force, which is all right, but then someone said, "Oh yeah, like Kate Winslet in Revolutionary Road was a complete Tour de Streep." I'm like, "Well, that's not going to help, is it?"
I've heard she's not great. She didn't get nominated. Kate Winslet in Revolutionary Road, we should talk about that. Revolutionary Road did not get a lot. Leonardo was nominated Golden Globes. He didn't get it for.
It's not in here at all, is it?
Oscars.
Oh no, it's supporting actor. That's it.
There's a few. Like cinematography's there.
We're not going to talk
moving
about
on.
Meryl Streep, the thing that really distracts me about Meryl Streep in Doubt is her glasses. I've said this before to you. In the trailers, she's got these kind of rimless little glasses, and they're so massively anachronistic. Like, they look like they were made in 2007, and it's set, what, in the 60s and the 70s?
I don't know, 50s.
And, yeah, like, not in the past 20 years. And maybe I'm just completely wrong. Maybe there were glasses like that, but I can't take my eyes off the fact I'm like... Her glasses, they're wrong!
Yeah.
She's a time-travelling nun? What's this all about? So
good plot for a movie, though. and then Kate Winslet for The Reader.
Mm.
So who would you give it to?
Have you seen The Reader?
I have seen The Reader, and I liked it quite a bit, especially her performance. A lot of people I saw it with didn't like it. They thought it was too much, like, they thought she was crying all the time. I think it was... I don't know a lot about German culture, but I think she really got it. And I think it comes... The first half of the movie is really well done. Even though, like, you did your review. She's naked a lot. That's not going to... Look, that's not...
Boobs are going to win, I think.
I think she's going to win it. I really think this is Kate Winslet's year, and I'd love it if she beat Meryl Streep.
Like, you shouldn't do it. It shouldn't be done like that. But to put it in context, this will be, her seventh or her sixth nomination?
Yeah.
Which will make her the youngest actress to receive six nominations and no wins.
Yeah, like she gets one a year.
Yeah, one a year, and she never fucking wins.
Yeah.
If
anybody saw the Golden Globe, Ricky Gervais made a really funny comment about how... In his episode where she was in an extras,
yeah,
they talked about how she wanted to play Holocaust movie to win an Oscar, and now she did a Holocaust movie, and she's going to probably win the Oscar.
I'd just like to say, I think, you know, you doing this is so commendable, you know, using your profile to keep the message alive about the Holocaust.
My God, I'm not doing it for that. I mean, I don't think we really need another film about the Holocaust, do we? It's like, how many have there been? You know, we get it. It was grim. Move on. No, I'm doing it because I've noticed that if you do a film about the Holocaust, guaranteed an Oscar. I've been nominated 4 times. Never won. And the whole world is going, why hasn't Winslet won one?
Death, yeah.
That's it. That's why I'm doing it. Schindler's Bloody List. Pianist. Oscars coming out of their ass.
Moving on. Actress in a supporting role, don't care. But you think...
I care. I'd like to talk about that.
You think Viola Davis in Doubt?
She's getting a lot of buzz. But I want to give it to Penelope Cruz because I think she's an amazing actress.
I like Penelope Cruz.
I'm very excited about Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
You like Penelope Cruz as well, don't you?
See, and so it's not just because she's hot, right? She's an amazing actress. She should have won for Volver last year.
I'll tell you what tanks that film.
What?
Woody Allen.
No, okay. Woody Allen has got a swing and a hiss mid every time. But he's done some great stuff. Like, he's back on form.
Jude, where's the guide? Keep talking.
I'll keep talking. So, I don't know who else is nominated. I just wrote down here Davis and Cruz. Davis is getting the most critical acclaim, so we got to give her a little bit of recognition. Who else is supported? Amy Adams. I've heard it's a bit of a joke. Taraji P. Henson for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. And Marissa Tomei. I didn't think Marissa Tomei was amazing. But for some reason, Oscar-nominated people love her. Because she always gets nominated. And she won once already, Marissa Tomei, which is a joke.
Can I just read you this short article from...
Me or the whole audience?
All of you, yes.
Listeners.
This is from the... This is
Delia Smith and we're good.
The Guardian. Hello, listeners. I can't keep...
That's fine, you don't have
but,
to.
It's an interesting article. It's from The Guardian Guide, which is talks about film and TV and radio and all sorts of shit. And this is about Woody Allen, actually. Well, there he goes again, hopping from one country to another, looking for all the world like a man 2 steps ahead of the Interpol arrest at warrant for offences under the Mann Act. The Mann Act is for child prostitution and trafficking. Mm-hmm. It was effectively the act that banned... transporting of slaves. Woody Allen has kicked the English dust from his hush puppies after filming 3 mightily indifferent movies on these shores and is now guying the Spanish film community whose public finances this gazillionaire was only too happy to plunder to finance yet another duffer, Vicky Cristina Barcelona. You see, Woody Allen, everything he touches turns to shit.
The Scoop was funny. Like, you can't... Hugh Jackman was great in Scoop, okay? He was really good. I didn't see the one he did with Colin Farrell and Ian McGregor, even though I wanted to. I forget what it was called. But I really...
In Bruges?
No,
wait, sorry. I wasn't really paying attention to what you were saying, I'm sorry.
But I really liked... what was that waiting one? Now my mind's gone blank. Now I...
It's happened
Headlights.
To you.
The movie where this is terrible radio. Oh, good silence. Where Scarlett Johansson is the other woman, and what's that? Match Point was really good, and I'm not going to budge on that. And that was one of his London movies. That was four movies ago, counting Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
And Vicky Cristina Barcelona is a good movie.
Okay.
People who don't like Woody Allen just haven't watched Woody Allen. It's the same as Star Wars.
Yeah, but it's very difficult to like someone who marries his adopted daughter.
Okay, but that doesn't change the art.
Jude says she has seen Woody Allen films too, which she doesn't like.
You don't like Woody Allen?
No.
Have you seen Annie Hall?
Yes.
Have you seen Manhattan?
I don't think so.
Ah, okay. Mood point. Moving on.
shit, I've just left. Where are we going to next?
Animated.
Ooh, I know what you're going to talk about.
It's just 3.
Go on then.
Okay, well, I was going to bring this up in my snub sections, but basically I'm very upset. I made a lot of bets with a lot of people that WALL-E would be nominated for Best Film. It wasn't.
Why would you do that? Why would you even
Because I thought it was that good.
It's not even that great a film, and it's a kid's film.
Okay, we digress.
It's not even really a kid's
film. I want to get self-indulgent. Anyway, so WALL-E... Not nominated, but will almost certainly win animated. What do you think?
Yeah, it'll win.
Slight.
It'll win because it had the biggest advertising budget.
Here's some breaking news, though. This morning, the nominations and I think the winners for the Annies, the Animated Film Awards, came out. Kung Fu Panda won more than Wall-E. That might be something interesting. Kung Fu Panda, also a great movie. I love it. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend it. I can't wait for the sequel. That's a good movie. That's a proper, like, kiddie. And Wall-E is not a kid's movie.
This is a major criticism.
Bolt, Disney Bolt, also very good.
That looks quite interesting,
actually. They're all good.
The major criticism I have of Wall-E is that while, like, in an animated sense, in a technical sense, it is wonderful. It's very exciting. Mm-hmm. Visually, it's very entertaining.
Sound.
Possibly, yes. However, who is that film for? Because if it's for small children, not nearly enough happens. There's almost no talking in the first half of the film. Yeah. And children don't have a really decent attention
point,
span.
Tom and Jerry. Continue.
Yeah, but Tom and Jerry, it's filled with frantic and endless excitement.
And the first 30 minutes of Wall-E, is it?
Well, no.
He hits himself in the head with a ping pong ball. That's funny.
It's not that
he
funny,
he clicks,
though.
He throws away a top.
Not,
nah,
but there's no interaction. It's just him.
And a cockroach.
Yeah, but as in a passive role, it's his follower. Like the excitement in Tom and Jerry is that they're always fighting against each other, and it has a really active score. Okay. So like nothing really happens at the beginning, and then it has this really kind of really overplayed kind of rampant consumerism and reckless kind of
leave a bit of a sour taste.
It's
a fair criticism.
How can you possibly?
And that's what's that fair kid?
It comes on much too thick. That message of we're all going to ruin the world, and then we'll get really fat and lazy, and junk food will kill you. Is that who's that for? Because really, really young children won't pick up on the message necessarily, or they won't really recognize the significance of it. And anyone really old enough.
Do you think they put too much in it and it spoils?
Anyone really to kind of comprehend what the message is will balk at the fact that it's being rammed down their throat. So I think it will fail.
That's
very
true. Yeah. So you make a good point.
Kung Fu Panda looks fun though. I started watching.
I'll happily lend it to you. Oh, you?
I started watching it on a transatlantic flight, but I'd taken too many antihistamines, so I fell asleep.
I don't want to talk too much about Kung Fu Panda. No. I'm worried we're talking a lot, but I do want to say everyone should see it.
Art direction,
I have down. Benjamin Button did really well. I think Dark Knight I'd like to get.
Not particularly interested in art direction.
No, Dark Knight.
It looks quite pretty. Cinematography.
Slumdog Millionaire, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It's because it's
not nominated for enough, and I think this is one of the things where it deserves. What did you think of Slumdog?
I really liked it, and I liked the cinematography. And it's a rare, it's an uncommon thing to say, but the use of wide angle shots at the beginning of the film,
the colors,
the vivid colors, the sharp. It's wonderful though. Like it's the cinematography
visually. It's
is visually it's really stunning, and it's in
very. I've heard a few people compare it to City of God, a movie I know you love.
Love that film.
So me too. That's a good movie too. I think everyone's seen.
Costume design, quite a tedious.
I said the Duchess because I think Elizabethan movies always win those.
An interesting idea. I want to talk about the fact that Milk was nominated for costume design. Okay, so Milk is set
also Revolutionary Road.
Yeah,
okay.
In the 50s. So in the 50s, possibly, but Milk is set between 1970 and 1978.
Something like that, yeah.
And how good's your maths?
How good's my maths? Pretty good, I guess.
How long ago is 1978?
20.
From when the film was made?
31 years?
30 years.
From when the film was made, yeah. 30 years, yeah.
How long ago was 1970?
39 years?
Yeah, more or less.
Okay.
38, we'll say.
All right.
How old do you think most of the people who will be voting on this, or a lot of the important people who will be voting on this?
I guess 50s, late 50s.
So how old would they have been at the time?
20 or so.
Possibly.
Wearing those clothes.
Possibly.
Average age of the person in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh my god, yeah, the clothing, it's so amazing. I can't believe that.
So realistic.
It's almost as if they had something like footage of people wearing those clothes.
In the movie.
I know, that's amazing. How did they possibly recreate it?
I think it could be
so convincing.
Because of the consistency. There are no missteps. It is so thorough with the costume. That's impressive.
Yeah.
On such a grand scale, throughout the decades, maybe the subtle things we don't know how it changed from 70 to 78, the little things.
Yeah, that's
obviously amazing. Don't know, but I still think Duchess will win, because the big flamboyant dresses and the hairdressers.
Exactly, because they've all had to be recreated. My dad has stuff in his wardrobe.
From the 70s.
Yeah, which could fit in that movie.
Yeah.
In fact, I have a tie, which I stole from him, in my wardrobe.
You didn't steal. It's a hand-me-down.
No, I did steal it.
No, don't tell him that. George's dad, if you're not this old business.
Doesn't know what iTunes is. I have a tie in my wardrobe. It's a huge Kipper tie. And it's wholly appropriate. I could have been in that film.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not that difficult to get costumes. It's not like they had to make them all. They could just bought
so
them.
So a bit of a joke nomination there. Something that upset you. All right, next.
But I agree, that's just very exciting.
Directing. This, for me, big category. I think it's wide open. I think anybody could win this.
It's a really interesting idea.
Read out the nominations.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button, directed by...
David Fincher.
Frost Nixon.
Directed by Ron Howard.
Yes. Milk.
Directed by... Lars... No... Crap, what's his name? I know his name.
Really interestingly, I'm on the...
Gus Van Sant.
Yes. I'm on the website. Oscars website, and it has...
It just says a film, not the name.
Yeah, it just says a film, not the name, which is an interesting trend.
Same costume designer. They don't say who it is. They just say the movies.
Yeah, but I suppose costume designers are often less famous than...
Or editing. They just say the movie, not the editor.
But then not, I suppose.
Because if you think about who will go to collect the award when they win, it'll be the editor. He'll go.
But then
and
often
take it.
There's more than one editor.
Sometimes. Anyway.
Like a group of editors.
It is interesting that they only say the film.
Which, it's a trend I've noticed. Like, they say, oh, from the director of this and this and this. And then they don't bother to give the name of the director. It's like,
Well, I mean, essentially with Shyamalan, who's had like 4 or 5 movies that are wrong. Or even Woody Allen, too. Go back to a previous theme. They'll mention his amazing movies that he did, like the director of Annie Hall, the director of Manhattan.
Yeah.
And they won't mention the last two movies, Cassandra's Dream and, you know, Scoop, that just didn't do well at all, or that tragedy comedy movie, Will Ferrell. But directing, sorry, go on.
Nominee list.
Gus Van Sant, you said, for Milk.
It doesn't say.
I'll tell you.
Just... Okay, go on. Sorry. The Reader.
I do not know who directed The Reader. Here's a little fact about the director of The Reader. Every movie he's directed has been nominated for an Oscar. Best film. He's not done 3. He's the first.
Stephen Daldry.
He's good. You saw The Reader. What did you think, the director?
I think it's very well directed.
I think it's good. I think this category is wide open. Anyone can win.
And Slumdog Millionaire, which is Danny Boyle.
And he won the Golden Globe, so he's the favorite. I think David Fincher. I haven't seen
Benjamin Button.
But
yeah.
I like him a lot, so I'm choosing David Fincher.
But do you think it's a direction? I mean, it's difficult to talk about film neither of us.
I think he should have won for Zodiac last year.
Yeah, but do you think it's a direction, or do you think it's the script? Do you think it's the quality of the story?
What?
Like, a really good story is easy to direct. Well, not easy.
Oh, so does he deserve credit because the story is so sort of such a good premise?
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier for him? No. I don't. I think these people know what they're talking about. I think.
So do I. I do agree though. It's very wide open. And look at that. Like, we've got Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, and Slumdog, which are, I think, 4, and Benjamin Button as well. Like, they're all 5 of them are like the big movies of this year and of the Oscars.
Snubbed Revolutionary Road. Didn't get that. Sam Mendes. I don't know if he got a Golden Globe. I didn't do my research. I don't know if he got a Golden Globe nomination. But he is a well. He won for American. Beauty, way back when.
You love that film.
It's a good movie. But I, who do you choose? I choose David Fincher for Benjamin Button for Best Director.
I haven't seen it. I think
Christopher Nolan also snubbed. Interesting.
I think, pleasingly, I've seen four of these films. I think of the films I've seen.
The guy who directed WALL-E also not nominated.
I think I would like to give it to possibly Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay, cool.
Or The Reader. I'm not really sure. Interesting, I didn't choose Frost or Frost Nixon or Milk.
Milk is well directed. I think Milk is really well directed. They're all good.
We need to talk about the editing for Milk.
Yeah.
Documentary feature, I haven't seen any of them. Oh, apart from Man on the Wire. I have
we
to
both
say,
think Man on Wire.
No, I don't think it'll be Man on Wire.
I think it will.
Can I say, I haven't seen it, but how exciting can Man on Wire be? And how,
it's good.
But yeah,
it's
but
really
like,
good.
So Man on Wire, between two Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Is he going to fall, isn't he? He obviously isn't. Because
how do you know that? I don't want to spoil the movie for you.
But like, because they wouldn't make a film.
You're as right as you think you are.
I just can't. I'm not that excited about it.
What about Milk? We know he doesn't like what happens at the end of Milk. I don't want to say anything.
You can say he gets shot. But they said at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, well, we haven't seen anyway. And Frost Nixon, you kind of know exactly what will happen there. And something like Doubt, which doesn't even have an ending. I mean, they're playing with form. I think credit should be given. I say Man on Wire.
In a dramatic sense, in a dramatic context, yes. But in a documentary context, I don't think it's...
Well, documentary's not formed by the same standards as a dramatic
film. Editing.
Film what?
Film editing.
Dark Knight. I give it to Dark Knight.
Why?
Because I think it's amazingly edited. I think that movie does so much in so little time. Like, how much they establish a story.
There's an awful lot of story in
it. Some people say it's too much. Like, there are leaps where, like, suddenly the Joker's not in jail anymore. How did he get out? And, like... you have to fill in the blanks. But I think for how epic it is and such a great plot, I think that... What are the other nominees?
Benjamin Button, Dark Knight, Frost Nixon, Milk, and Slumdog, which...
Slumdog, good editing. Slumdog, I wouldn't be surprised.
Good editing, yeah, very much. Very much good editing. There are some nice kind of jumps between kind of the ages.
Because it's a bit of a bracketed film. Like this book.
Very much, there's infancy, and then there's kind of youth. And
then the way it slides in between. Like, remember when they're rolling down the hill, and all of a sudden they're older? That's good stuff. Nice. The music is so well used. I think good editing, good music comes together.
Wonderful music, wonderful music. And I think we'll see it later with that. Milk... have to slate the editing.
Yeah, we didn't really like the editing.
We didn't like the editing for a number of reasons.
Pandering to the audience.
I think it's too long.
Which is why it might win Best Film.
I think it's too long. It's important to tell the story of the fact that he fails to get nominated, fails to win the
election. It took too long to give the cross that message.
Ages. But I think an important role of editing is telling the story in the best way. And telling a whole story all the time isn't the best way to do it.
Yeah,
I think
agreed.
They could have done things better in that film. Especially, I don't think they gave nearly enough run up to the fact that, with Dan Brown being... Is it Dan Brown? No, he's the man who writes the books.
Dan White?
Dan White. being dismissed.
Dan Black.
And then him being angry and, all being,
Well, I guess maybe they didn't want to foreshadow that too much.
But you know it's going to happen, so it's not.
I don't think it
didn't seem believable. He's like, oh, he lost his job. Now he's really upset. Now he's wearing no clothes on the sofa,
and now
he's shooting someone.
Wait, Dan White's the one who shoots him? You spoil
everything. It's Dan Brown. He gets out. He gets out of Angels and Demons.
The Illuminati.
Yeah, it's all.
I want to say for Milk, I don't think it's badly edited. I just think it made poor choices. I agree with you. There are a lot of mistakes.
Tell
me
about the worst choice.
Well, that's a personal thing. I feel like it's.
I think it's inexcusable.
At the end, they reintroduce their foreshadowing.
I think it's inexcusable
to show how smart they
were.
It is patronizing. But I mean, you, who's your audience again? You know, some people might really like that.
Not a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, it's true. Gay people are stupid, though. Did I offend 50% of your listener base now?
You probably have now.
Yeah. Specifically Adele. I'm drunk, I promise.
Apparently Adele has a penis.
Really?
Well, she's going to be at the boys' night, so I can't see how else.
My sister as well.
Yeah.
Boys' night. Okay, more on that later. moving along swiftly.
Nice.
Makeup.
Nice. No, foreign language.
Oh, I skipped that, because I don't know any of them.
Foreign language. Jude!
Yes, we'll get Jude in here for that, actually.
Come.
Special foreign correspondent.
Foreign correspondent.
Jude, what's her last name? Law?
Flynn.
Law.
We could have had
a gender joke there.
We could have had Regina Vadianathan or Justin Webb.
We went for the best. We got Jude Flynn.
If anyone else listens to Radio 4, you would recognise these references. But we chose Jude Flynn.
Okay.
Go on.
Miss Flynn.
I think What's With Bashir should win. I think it's kind of controversial that the film I've Loved You So Long wasn't on the list.
For foreign film?
Yeah, because that was probably the most kind of hyped up foreign film of last year, and it had Kristen Scott Thomas in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which
it's a French
movie,
for those not knowing.
Yeah. But What's With Bashir, I really, really enjoyed it, but I think that's partly because I'm interested in that kind of thing. I spoke to someone
that
last
kind of
night.
Thing being the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Yeah, and the Israeli army and stuff.
Well-timed.
Very convenient.
Not at all.
But Sam, I spoke to last night, found it really, really dull because he knew nothing of the conflict in Lebanon. Like he knew nothing about it. He thought the plot was really, really dull.
Which I suppose is a fault of a film. Like a film should function. As
yeah, you can assume your audience.
A film should always function as an independent unit. You shouldn't. Like,
it's not really a very entertaining topic, I suppose, as well. Like the Israeli army going and sitting on a beach in Lebanon.
Is that, but you would give it to Walter Bashir? You've seen it,
yeah.
First of all. Okay, and you liked it.
Yeah, I have. I thought it was excellent.
How many of the other films? Did you see the Baader-Meinhof complex?
No, I've heard that it's very good. German cinema can always be relied upon.
That's true. German cinema won last year.
I think that's interesting.
The year before it was French.
Probably
I
will
believe.
Win, though.
Possibly.
It's a lot more kind of. It appeals to so many more people.
And it's not just a good story, it's like a unique. They do it the cryptograph, it looks like a drawing. Is it actually a cartoon, or is it rotoscoping? Yeah,
where they film, and then they animate over the top.
Rotoscoping.
So, yeah, it looks as if
that's
actually,
very cool.
Like,
other movies that have done that, Scanner Darkly.
Waking Life.
Waking Life.
I love Waking Life.
Yeah, exactly. Waking Life. Very good.
But yeah, so that was what was interesting about also this year. Also, the last scene, I think, was very poignant because they did that. What's it called? That animation?
Rotoscoping.
Yeah, like, they did that, obviously, throughout the entire... They did that for the entire film. And then in the final scene, this kind of crowds of Palestinian women walking past the main IDF soldier character, and it's all animated, and then gradually, like, the animation kind of disappears.
Oh,
so
really?
It becomes film, and the women
that
are real.
That is interesting.
I mean, it's actual kind of footage of all these...
Is it a long film? Because with rotoscoping, it's a lot of work, so they tend to be shorter.
I guess it was about an hour and a half.
So it's pretty short by modern standards.
Yeah, maybe an hour and a half.
Well, I don't know. Like, a lot of films are... That's not
unreasonably short. It's a bit of a... Like, we're digressing now, but, like, length of movie has changed. Like, either really long because people want more movie for their money, or it's really short because people just don't have time to watch movies anymore. They want short flicks they can watch on DVD.
Only massive films can... pull off at being over 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
Titanic.
Yeah.
Like, overblown epics.
But like, it's a really difficult thing to pull off. Like, The Lord of the Rings films, what, like 6 hours each or something?
And even the fans of those movies, like, hate how long the third one is.
During some of the Lord of the Rings films, someone said they went to one and there was an interval.
Yeah?
Yeah. And
Switzerland is always interval.
And a lady came around with ice cream. And I was like, where were you watching this film in the 1940s?
How long does the film have to be for it to have an interval?
In Switzerland? Yeah. There's always an interval.
More than 10 minutes.
Swiss people can't smoke for less than an hour.
I've heard that Swiss people in time is kind of a weird thing as well. Like, yeah. I've heard that they're even more punctual.
It's because
than
they make it, so they're addicted to it.
Yeah, they sell it, yeah.
I think I would get along very well in Switzerland.
Right. Next category.
Thank
Are you.
You
leaving, Jude? Oh, thank you.
I've got hair to wash.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not my hair.
Yeah, she part-time as a hairdresser. The score?
Makeup? Oh, score? I don't have...
Okay, we'll do makeup very quickly. Benjamin Button, Dark Knight, and Hellboy 2. I have to say, Hellboy 2, not even worth... I don't know.
This time, skip it.
It's shit. It's abominable. It's insulting.
I'm actually going to be, because I want to dry my hair and I don't want to kind of interfere with...
We're going to be like another hour for those listening
to. 2 to 3 hours, I think. You can dry your hair.
We're more than halfway through.
Quietly. Well, you have to wash it first.
Yeah. I'll be
Was that a
like
slide shot at Jude's hair? I think your hair looks very loose.
Well, to dry, it must first be wet. So, we'll have a shower. Shower, sweetheart.
Go and have a shower.
Now. Makeup. What do you think of makeup?
Makeup. I think it's comic that The Dark Knight is...
Well, we were arguing makeup now
Kate
is.
Kate should have won it because Kate Winslet looks amazing as a 60-year-old. Like,
but that's more her acting, maybe. Perhaps. But good point. There was only 3 nominations.
Yeah, which to be fair, it's not particularly
weird.
Exciting.
Also, animated also only 3 nominations, and song only 3 nominations. Very interesting.
The Dark Knight. I'm sorry, but like a bit of pan stick and then I don't know some red paint.
Joker.
I could have done that. Like,
I think what the these days, makeup is not necessarily just like, you know...
how they look.
Painted on. It's also more that computer-generated stuff, really? Which is why Benjamin Button's getting so many, like, so much recognition.
I think Benjamin Button
and
will win it, because...
in Dark
because
Knight, it's Two-Face more.
There is... Oh yeah, you said that. Yeah, that's true. But I think in Benjamin Button, because there is...
Well.
Because there's makeup all the way through.
And they say you can't even tell. Like, unless you're looking for it. Like, obviously you know it's not really Brad Pitt as a little kid. But we've all seen the trailer. It's amazing.
That looks impressive.
Technical achievement, to be sure.
Musical score?
WALL-E.
You think WALL-E?
Definitely
WALL-E. I can't remember any of the songs from WALL-E. Apart from all the Hello Dolly stuff.
There's a few Louis Armstrong in there. A lot of... And then some original score as well. It's amazing. I think WALL-E definitely...
Okay.
While we're on it, it's going to...
Slumdog Millionaire is a definite contender.
Yes.
It's got...
a lot of mixes of culture. To sort of show the story of how India grows.
Paper Planes. That's a great
M.I.A.
Story. Yeah.
And she worked with him, yeah. She did 2 or 3 songs.
Yeah, exactly.
Neither of which are nominated for Best Song, but that's him.
Best Songs, Down to Earth by WALL-E. I don't even know how that goes.
It's the one that goes over the credits, if you remember.
I see.
I'm now, too ashamed to sing it.
Now, who was...
Mark said it was good, and Mark knows what he's talking about.
Batman Returns is the one that has Seal
in
it. Like, and that was the song of... And that
She's
was
over Rose.
Yeah, exactly. And that was in the credits. I'm sorry, but... Yeah, credits are part of the film, but they're a perfunctory part of the film.
Interesting.
I don't think you can have a song of the film if it's just on the credits. Yeah. Like, it doesn't count, I don't think.
But, I mean, these days it's hard to just slide a song in a movie, yeah? But Slumdog did it really well, so maybe Slumdog
exactly.
got the next
and
2 nominations.
Jai Ho is...
I don't know which song is which, but...
I can show you. Slumdog...
Meanwhile, I just want to quickly say, Bruce Springsteen won the Golden Globe for Best Song, and he's not even nominated, and that's outrageous.
For what?
For The Wrestler, and it's a great song. And I would give it to Bruce Springsteen. So, but I'm giving it to Wally, because I love Wally. And I'm biased for robots who know how to put bras on their faces.
This is Jai-Ho.
Yeah.
It's a good song, I think.
Yeah, no, it's great. The music in Slumdog is very good.
Okay, have a bit of this action while we talk about short film, animated. I don't suppose you've seen any of these.
I saw the one with the squids.
There are five. Le Maison en Petit Cube, which is a house in Little Blocks. I haven't seen that, and you can't really get hold of it.
I can get hold of all of them. Do you have like show notes or something? I can give you a link for all five.
Okay, Lavatory Love Story, which is a Russian film. That's really sweet. And it's really simple animation, and I like that because it's
is that the paper drawn? It looks
yeah,
like
yeah.
Okay.
And that's a nice one. And you can see Lavatory Love Story on YouTube. Octopody, which is about the squids or the octopus.
That's good.
That's fun. It's sweet and
it's not
it's
as
fun.
Good as Presto, but it's good.
You can see that on you can see Octopody on YouTube as
yeah,
well.
No, you
know. Presto, where did you see that?
It's in front of Wally. It's on the Wally DVD and it's
yeah.
also on YouTube.
That's where I saw it. I saw it in front of Wally, and that's on YouTube as well. Presto is very good, very exciting, very entertaining, and it has an excellent score.
It has an excellent score.
This Way Up, which is an English one, you can find that on iTunes.
Is it for free?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Right, enough of this. Yeah, and it might have been on the American iTunes, but it's a short film and it's free.
Yeah.
It's good. It's interesting. Not as exciting.
I don't know enough to pick. I would pick Presto. I like the Octopedia one, but I haven't seen any of the others. Which one would you choose?
I think probably Presto or Octopedia will win because of the animation.
Okay.
The computerized animation
right.
of it. I think Lavatory Love Story is the sweetest of them all. And it's the best story. The thing I dislike about Octopody is it doesn't finish.
It is weird. Octopody is weird. It's more like a comedy short. It's like
yeah.
a little kid thing.
So I'd like to see Lavatory Love Story, but I think Presto will win.
Okay.
And
then best short, like non-animated film, is that next?
Haven't seen
any. I don't know any of this either. No. I feel like an ignorant.
Make a random choice between 1 and 5.
2.
You think Manon on the Asphalt.
Yeah,
win.
Manon Asphalt, yeah.
And I think that I think that Iron Man for Sound Editing is going to win the short film. No, I think New Boy is going to win.
Okay.
I'm behind New
what
Boy
was
on the way. Well, that sounds
Asphalt?
Dodgy.
Alright, next
Something.
Is
Sound Editing.
Wally.
You think Wally?
Yeah, no
Okay.
doubt. I'm so sure. But I'm also so sure about Best Picture.
I'm going to say something.
Who else is nominated for Sound Editing?
Dark Knight, Iron Man, Slumdog, and Wanted. What's Wanted?
Wanted's that it was a blockbuster movie with Angelina Jolie and my boy James McAvoy.
Oh,
directed
yeah.
by that Russian guy. It was.
I just want to say,
supervillains.
In reference, yeah, Wanted doesn't even have a picture on the.
And neither does in Bruges.
Well, there you go. So I'm gonna go for Slumdog, I think.
Okay, Slumdog's good choice.
Although maybe I'll go for Slumdog for sound mixing. What's the difference between sound editing, sound mixing? Who knows?
That's a good point. I guess
one of the two.
Layering and cutting.
Visual effects.
Benjamin Button again.
I don't think there's any.
Is it the same thing? See, this is interesting because their visual effects are their makeup. So
Benjamin Button, Dark Knight, and Iron Man. So
what's this for visual effects?
Yeah.
Well, Dark Knight, I mean, what did they do? Was just blowing stuff up?
Does that count as visual? I suppose it must do.
Must.
But, like, it's not CGI. That, they just really just blew shit up. So
and then
that's quite
Iron
cool.
Man, they did
I
some
quite enjoy
stuff.
Blowing shit up. It's
yeah.
fun.
I've never
so
done it, but
maybe,
I've heard it's
maybe
fun.
Dark Knight.
But I still give it to
Screenplay. Adapted screenplay.
All right, this is big. These two adapted.
This is, yeah.
Read out the nominations.
Okay, so writing.
These are the last two categories.
So, yeah, writing is a big one. And there are two. There's the original screenplay and adapted. Adapted screenplay, we have Curious Case of Benjamin Button, adapted from a...
Fitzgerald's short story.
Yeah, Scott Fitzgerald's
yeah.
short story.
F. Scott Fitzgerald. F. That's not right. Move along.
Doubt, adapted from...
A play.
Okay. Frost Nixon, which obviously was a play before it became a screen play. The Reader, which...
Is adapted from a book.
Yes.
Isn't it?
And Slumdog Millionaire.
Is adapted from a book as well.
Oh, there you go.
Q&A. The book is called.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They have to be very precise, because if it's anything original, anything not original at all, even though, like, F. Scott Fitzgerald, is that, who is Fitzgerald?
Scott Fitzgerald.
Scott Fitzgerald.
He wrote,
He wrote a really short story about a guy aging backwards. It has nothing to do
yeah,
with
like
the plot of Benjamin Button, but that's
no.
where they got the idea.
But, yeah, which is fair, because otherwise it's plagiarism.
Mm. So who would you give it to?
Interesting. I think I'd give it to Frost Nixon.
Okay. I'd give it to Doubt. I haven't picked anything else for Doubt, so I think Doubt will get this.
I think Frost Nixon or The Reader.
The Reader was really good.
Think about writing. Yeah, the thing about... That's why I think I'm tempted... Frost Nixon and The Reader are the most interesting ones for me. The Reader, because it works in three overtures. Mm. And so we have Michael's youth, which is very exciting, and then we have his adolescence, and he being at university, I suppose, mm. And the trials. Mm. And then we have the phase kind of later when he's an adult and he's got divorced and he's moved out and his daughter is still very young. And he does a thing of, you know, recording all the tapes for her, mm. and he's getting over his pain, and it's a very interesting moment. And then I suppose
also culturally, it gets you into the culture. That's good.
Yeah, as a postscript to the film, they have
and there's subtle nods.
They have the modern time, like the 1985, where he's remembering it all. It's excellently well written, I think.
I think Doubt, because it argued that Doubt's a movie about arguments, and it presents each of those arguments well. It lets the audience come up with its own resolution. Mm. Again, I haven't seen this.
I agree. Like, you know, nothing's clear cut. But I wonder if the whole premise of it, like there being fundamental doubt of what happened, mm. is a bit over the top. Like, obviously, it's impossible to suggest.
We need to see it before we can.
I worry that perhaps the fact that it all hinges around her having or not having doubt, like, is a bit not simplistic, but a bit reduced, a bit too condensed into mm. like, oh, you know, and you have no proof, but I have my faith.
Or like, it's going to be the same. Yeah, okay.
If that is the premise of the whole film, like. Mm-hmm. Frost Nixon.
Oh, okay.
Excellently well written, really well adapted from the screen.
To the screen.
To the screen, yes. And also, really excitingly, it's based on truth. Like, I've seen some of the tapes from the actual
interview.
David Frost Nixon interviews, and it's excellent, really, really interesting. And there's this wonderful, I think, which the part that really kind of lets it stand out is this. It's completely fictional. It's a phone call late at night between a slightly drunken Nixon to Frost about this thing of, it's all about kind of, oh, you know.
This is before or after the actual interview?
So during the interviews, it was a set of, like, a whole series of interviews, and it's before they do the Watergate one.
Okay.
And they're having, like, a few days off for Easter or something. And Nixon rings him, and they do this, he says this thing about, like, we're both wanted, aren't we? We're both out of the limelight, and we crave it, and we need it. But only one of us can have it, and then all about, like, being not fitting in at school, and like being not of the same class, and everyone kind of looking down on you, and you, like, having to prove yourself and demonstrate that you are better, and like forcing your fame down their throats. And it's basically an ultimatum saying that you know, only one of us can win this argument, and for the victor will be celebrity and fame once again, and for the loser will be obscurity in the wilderness. And it's the catalyst that forces, that, you know, build, that sets the climax, and sets, you know, the build for the climax of the film, and it sets, it forces Frost to take action and to really work, and then ultimately beat Nixon.
Spoiler alert.
But the most interesting thing is that Nixon never remembers it. Like, Frost says to him that the next time they meet, something about blah, 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 phone call. And Nixon's like, phone call?
Mm.
And then they don't bring it up. And then after he's finally been defeated and Frost is going home, you know, the victor, they go back to his kind of California residence, Nixon's residence, to say thank you and goodbye and kind of almost condolences, I suppose, or consolations. And Nixon says, did we really have a phone call? Yes. What do we talk about? And instead of Frost being like, the fact that if you lose this, you'll be shit and you'll be nobody, he's like, cheeseburgers. Like, he makes it nothing, which makes him a nice human character. But what, something that The Guardian was talking about, which is really interesting, is the idea that because Nixon doesn't forget it, and like, why would Robert Nixon, Richard Nixon, Robert Nixon, his lesser known brother, why would Richard Nixon, forget it? Like, it sets up the question of maybe it was all in Frost's head.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's just... I mean, he was dreaming. It was a real night.
So, and I think that's a really, really exciting part of the film. So okay. I think In terms of that, it's excellent.
So you give it to...
I think I'll give it to Frost Nixon.
And I say Doubt. And then original?
Frozen River, haven't seen it. Happy-Go-Lucky, haven't seen it. In Bruges, haven't seen it. Wall-E, haven't seen it. Oh, have seen it, sorry. Milk, seen it.
Okay, this is going to shock people. I'm not going to give it to Wall-E.
Whoa!
Because I don't think it's well-written.
No, it's not.
Because I think a lot of what you had to complain about... What was the last one?
Milk. Milk. So, Frozen River, Happy-Go-Lucky, In Bruges, Milk, Wall-E.
I think it's pretty... I love In Bruges, and I really want In Bruges to win this. I think it's a great written...
I haven't seen it. I saw the trailers. It looks really funny. It looks intelligent.
It's really good. It's a great movie. And that's all I have to say. Who do you pick? And then for best original...
I can't really pick In Bruges, because I haven't seen it, I suppose.
You've only seen Milk. And Wall-E.
I'm not going to give it to Wall-E.
So Milk.
I suppose by default, I suppose.
Yeah.
But the writing is quite good in Milk, I suppose.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, a lot about what you said about
it's
how
too, they do it's the quite game. Sentimental, though. Like, the whole bit with the boy and the... Oh, don't give it away, but, you know, like...
Yeah.
He gets his phone call from the boy. He's like, oh, my parents want to fix me while sending me to this hospital.
It is actually well written,
though. And Harvey Milk's like, oh, you just get up and go. Just go to a big city and never speak to them again.
Mm.
And... It's a bit sentimental, and then they get called back. He gets called back from that guy, like from the boy, much later, and he has escaped, and it all works out happily ever after. It's a bit, sugary.
But In Bruges snubbed, like it didn't get any like writing or got writing.
Fuck it, I'll give it to In Bruges.
Didn't get directing, didn't get cinematography, didn't get acting. I think it's very upsetting. Did we talk Big Picture?
No, I didn't think we did.
Okay, well, let's end it on Best Picture.
I skipped past it because I didn't want to do it straight away. Actual leading role, where is it?
It should be right after music or makeup.
Imagine.
Before visual effects.
Best Picture. No, we did talk about Best Picture, didn't we?
Who did you say?
God, I can't remember. I must have said Frost Nixon.
Oh, okay, well, I said Milk for Best Picture. I know there's a bunch
No, we haven't talked about this. I'm sure we would have talked about it.
Yeah. List out the nominees, please.
Best Picture, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah. Slumdog Millionaire is the favourite.
Are you sure we haven't talked about
it? No, we talked about editing and cinematography, and then we talked about writing. We skipped Best Picture.
Well, if we have already talked about this, let's just hope that we said the same things that we did last time.
I'm sure I'm going to say the same thing.
No, I'm just making this shit up. okay, well, yeah, what did you say, Milk?
I think Milk. I know there's all of those movies, again, it's like director, it's wide open. Like, any one of those could win, conceivably. I don't want it to give it to Slumdog. I don't think it deserves Best Picture. But I think Milk should get Best Picture. Otherwise, Wall-E. Revolution Road, haven't seen.
Actually, I said this on when we saw Milk.
Wrestler, not nominated.
I said that
is
I thought. No.
That's shocking.
I said that I thought Frost Nixon would win Best Actor.
Yeah.
And that possibly Milk will win Best Picture. That's conceivable, I think.
Yeah. See, you're like me. Like, you give, like, you want to let everybody win a bit. Like, I know normally the number one movie will win all of them, you know, because it's the best.
I don't think there's a movie in this set. I don't think Benjamin Button will do a...
yeah, because Benjamin and Brad Pitt...
it's not going to do a Silence of the Lambs. It's not going to win all five biggies. Yeah, fucking Titanic.
Gladiator did that.
Oh, God, Gladiator. There's not enough hours in the day to talk about how much I just
How long are we recording? Should we wrap up? Should we talk about... What do we do now?
Well,
I think we've talked about all our movies. We want to hurry up and quickly finish and then let Jude
have a wash her hair, shower, dry her hair. Right, anything else? Hair. Anything else to talk about?
Well, I last episode you did things where you like recommended stuff to people.
All right, you've got 1 minute and 15 seconds, go.
Okay, well, movie In Bruges, everyone should see that. Music, I recommend She and Him, Volume 1. Please all listen. Book A Void, it's a book completely, this is my flatmate told me about this, a book completely written without the letter E. It has three languages.
Oh, it's by Georges Perec.
Yes. His name's
going to be very famous.
Yes. But it's a tough read because I have to make vocab jumps to get around the E.
Today by Radio, it's that.
Yeah. That's right. Little Big Planet for video games, I'm loving it, I keep on playing that. TV, Skin Season 3 has started. I've seen 2 episodes so far and I like both of them. And then, for those of you who haven't yet been getting into the Flash comic book, Rebirth starts in April. It's a good time to jump on. And I think, you know, George, we should plug Guardian one more time because you seem to love it so much.
The Guardian's the best newspaper ever.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's about it from us.
Thank you so much for having me on. Sorry for being
more
so self-indulgent.
Now we're going to have our boys' night.
Let's go to the man's night.
Yeah!
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Have a nice day. Happy Chinese New Year. Gong fang fak chao.
Thanks.